Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay. All right. Hey, guys. It's day two of the Australian Open is done, and I'm here with my trusty roommate. Let's just say that now. Andrea Pekovic. We are going to wrap up day two of the Australian Open. Whoa, what a great day. What unbelievable matches. Right through to the evening, once again, past midnight, we played some tennis at the Australian Open, but it was hot yesterday. And today's going to be even hotter. But let's talk about what happened yesterday. Hi, Petco.
Hey, how are you doing? How did you sleep?
Great. Not enough.
No, you had a long, long night. You did the Garcia-Osaka match. Yep. That was the popcorn match of the day. Maybe let's get straight into it with that match because it really was the marquee
match. Yeah, what did you think of it?
So I don't think Naomi played that well. We talked about it yesterday. You said you were courtside, so you saw how well she's hitting the ball. And I think that's true. You can see... I don't want to say the potential because she has won four slams. You can see how well she hits the ball. That's always been her forte. I don't think she moved well. And when you play somebody like Garcia, you have to move well. And I don't mean that she was slow. I think she actually moved really well to the corners. She was quick. She looked fit. She looked really good. But the small little precise steps that you need to take when somebody takes the return early and goes at you. And she lost many points when Garcia was able to put the ball through the center of the court, take it early and play with a lot of depth. And that's match fitness, right? Yep, yep. Because if you can't run to the corners, then you're like, oh, we have to go back to the gym and train on the fitness. But she was good in that. It's those quick shots that came at her, and that's the precise little footwork, that's the awareness, that's the eyes that you need to train, and that's something you get through playing a lot of matches. But I'm really interested to hear your thoughts because I watched it on TV, so I saw other things than what you saw courtside.
Yeah, I'm actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I mean, I think that's really well put. I think that's the area that she needs to get a little bit better at. When the ball was ripped back at her after she ripped it, and it came back at her as fast, and I'm telling you, it was a joke how hard they were hitting the ball, because I was, my eyes are literally at eye level with the ball.
Was it as fast as last year, Rybakina and Sabalenka?
Yeah, same.
Oh, amazing.
Actually, honestly...
Faster?
It was... Honestly, could have even been faster.
Oh, amazing.
But
that was incredible.
That was incredible. No, these guys, they were hitting the absolute living shit out of the ball. It was a joke. But we know that Garcia likes the ball hit hard at her. She likes the pace. She has that beautiful, like, little hop, skip, you know, sort of way of hitting the ball, particularly on the backhand. So I think if there was one area, I think she played the backhand way too much, Naomi. I don't know what whim. I don't know if he told her to play the backhand, forehand. I'm not
game
quite sure.
Game plan wise, you mean?
Yeah, I think the game plan was not great. Mm. And I think that she missed a few balls that came back at her with interest. And she wasn't necessarily ready for it. And now thinking about it the way you were talking about it with the quicker footwork to get in position a little bit better, was that was where she missed. Whereas... Garcia was on it almost every time. But I think game plan wise, she didn't play a great match. But you can tell the game is still there. The serve is still huge.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Garcia fucking served out of her mind.
That was one of the best serving matches.
Serena.
Yes, that I saw from a woman since Serena. That's exactly what I wanted to say.
I mean, we showed the stats of where she was serving as well. I mean, there was nothing that wasn't like 1 foot I mean, away from the sideline. Mm. It was unbelievable serving. Just, I mean, Naomi could do nothing. Yeah. She would have beaten anybody last night, Garcia. Yeah. And we know that she's capable of that. It's just, can she keep it up?
Yes.
Because her game is predicated on, you know, so much confidence. But I tell you what, if she plays like that or serves like that against anybody, they're going to give her a show. Now, the difference is someone's going to move a little better, right? Mm. Someone's going to dig that ball out. Someone's going to make her play that volley. Someone's going to make her play one more forehand. Mm. So that's where Garcia gets into a little bit of problems. But overall, I think Naomi's going to be back. I think by, and I said this, I think she's going to be ready to go by Miami and Indian Wells. I think she'll be at her best again.
Yeah.
Because she will have more matches under her belt. But it's going to take time. But look, it was great to see her back out there. Her face when she walked out was smiling and happy. And I think overall, you and I would agree that the most important thing for Naomi is that she's happy on the court.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially when she loses.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy she's back. I'm bummed she's not in the tournament for longer because I would have loved to have seen it.
That was a terrible draw. It has to be said. It's a great, you know, we are always excited because we get these marquee matches in the first round. But if you think about it a little
that
closer,
sucked.
It's shite. Yeah. Because now Naomi is gone and she's great for tennis.
Yeah.
She's great for this tournament, particularly with the closeness of Asia. The crowd and the atmosphere
was awesome.
Was so good. Yeah. And it's just, I'm getting actually a goosebumps right now because it's just, she's so important for the sport. And it has to be said, 6 months ago, she only had her baby. And
it's unbelievable.
She's doing well.
She's doing well. We're happy that she's back.
She's doing well.
That's what Pam and I said after the match. We're like, oh man, it was a great match, but oh, what a bummer. We don't have Naomi still in the tournament. But there you go. That's the way the cookie crumbles, as we say.
It is.
And there was a lot of other great matches.
Yeah, Coco Gauff came back into since her maiden Grand Slam title at the US Open. This was her first Grand Slam match. Did you see any of it?
She played. I saw all of
Anna Karolina Shmidlova. Oh, you called that match.
I called that match.
How did Coco look?
You know, comparative to what I saw in the evening with Naomi and Garcia, not well.
Oh, really interesting.
You know, and I'm only being critical because that's my job. You know, you ask a question. I thought she played up to the standard that she needed to. I think Shmidlova was something was going on with her. I think she didn't look good. She kept grabbing at her stomach. But look, Coco is so good at managing. And it's interesting now that she's coached by Brad Gilbert, who wrote a book about winning ugly.
Mm-hmm.
She's just gotten to the point where, you know, the forehand was not great in the first set. It got much better in the second set. She's abbreviated the service motion. She's getting this smaller toss. She went and saw Andy Roddick and had some serving advice. So, you know, the thing about Coco is that she finds ways to win. And that's what you have to do when you don't have your A game, because the A game will come. But she has to still, the forehand is still attackable and it's still vulnerable. But the backhand is still unbelievable.
So good,
the serve, we'll see. We'll see how it hangs in under pressure.
Speaking of serve, did you see what in the sweet world was going on with Stefanos Tsitsipas' serve? He had 5 different motions. What was happening?
Well, I mean, he's still got his dad coaching him. I mean, you know, honestly, I'll say it until he wins a Grand Slam and proves me wrong. I think he has to get a different coach. I think his father is way too involved in his tennis. And I think that it's a fairly toxic relationship as far as like, and I think they have a good relationship. I'm not saying that, but I just think as a coach, you've got to be able to, you know, I just don't think it's
well,
healthy.
For those who haven't seen the match, Stefano started off serving. If you remember, he normally doesn't pull the right leg towards his left. He has this pinpoint position where he's like Federer, right, where he doesn't pull it forward. And he started serving in the match with pulling the leg forward all of a sudden. And everyone was like, oh my God, he changed his service motion. His first serve percentage was under 50%. He was only at a 41% in the first set. And then all of a sudden, he just went back to the old one. And then he was interchanging between the old and the new one.
Absolutely crazy.
And then in the on-court interview, he basically said it was an aesthetic choice. And then later, it has to be said, in the press conference, he elaborated a bit more on it and he said that it was to protect his back. So that might be a concern if he's really feeling his back and he has to adjust his service motion. That's not something you want to see. He has final points to defend here. So this is, but the weird answer with the, this is an aesthetic choice, like, it would be as if Coco changed her grip completely on the forehand, was like, well, you know, I just like the looks of it better.
Well, yeah, that would probably be good, but that's just absolutely crazy. But that's just not a normal situation. But anyway, he got through in the match. Yeah, it was a tough match, but he managed to get through. But yeah, we'll see what he can do through the tournament.
Let's just talk quickly about what happened on Margaret Court Arena. Medvedev went to sit down, and then later Anshaber played. Did you see Medvedev? He had some crazy shots again.
Yeah, I mean, I love the guy. I mean, he's one of my favorite people. I just love his everything about him. I just love his crazy. I love his game. It's just, you know, and you knew when he lost that first set, he was still going to win the match. Mm. But the guy obviously was suffering.
Yeah.
In the end, it was really hot yesterday. And so, you know, when you're playing best of five, it's a different animal. When you're playing against someone like Medvedev, who doesn't make a lot of errors, you have to beat him. Mm. So to do that, it's tough. It's tough when you don't have a lot of experience in playing, you know, long, long, arduous matches. So good to see him through. I'm happy to see him through because I think he's great.
Well, and Anshaber, she looked rusty in the first set. Just, I mean, it's normal. She hasn't played since the WTA finals in Cancun. So that's been a few weeks.
She looked a little rusty. Yeah, she chose not to come in with a warm-up tournament. She chose, and she said early that she chose that earlier in the year.
It
wasn't like a last-minute thing, like, oh, I don't feel like playing early. She chose, I think, back in, like, Wimbledon time that she was not going to play any warm-ups at the Australian Open, which I find really interesting. But listen, Serena didn't play warm-ups. She did once or twice, but overall didn't. I know Steffi never played a warm-up coming in. I mean, once or twice she did younger, but when she was older, she didn't. I don't mind that. If you feel like you can get through a match or two, she was lucky with the draw, playing a player that has absolutely no experience at Grand Slam level, but got through qualifying. But just a little bit on her opponent,
Starodubtseva Yulia, she's from Ukraine.
Her parents are, her dad is still in Ukraine, her brothers are still there, her mother and sister have moved to Ireland. She went to school at Old Dominion in the US and has stayed coaching. She was coaching at the Westchester Country Club and then decided, I'll give it a go, try and turn pro. And now she's gotten into the main draw of the Australian Open. And so it's an unbelievable story.
It is just,
you know, battling away. She's one of so many stories like that on the ATP and WTA tours of players that have no money. She was sleeping on the couch of her friend's apartment in New York City when she played qualifying last year because she had no money. Like, there's so many stories like that on the tour, and particularly people from Ukraine who have literally no place to go and train or live. So that was a fun story. And she gave it a bit of a go in the match.
Yeah, she had a few instances, and she had a few stretches where she showed what she can do. And it has to be said, last year in May, she was unranked.
Yeah, it's a crazy story.
Yeah, we're not talking about somebody that, you know, coaches a little bit. She was literally last year in May, she was unranked, and now she's playing main draw match against Anshaber, and she played well in the first set. I think Ons found her rhythm in the second set, served much better. For me, Ons' first serve is so, so important. Her second serve is still a weakness.
Oh, wait.
She had a few that were 112 kilometers an hour. That is very slow. I think that's 65 miles an hour. It's very, very slow. But when her first serve is firing, it's so good because she has this really quick motion. Yeah. You can't tell at all where she's going. She has all the serves. She can hit the slice wider. She can go for a big one. And then what is most important, she can set up for her forehand. Yeah. And once she controls the ball from the center of the court with her forehand, it's really, really fucking tough to beat her.
Yeah, but as you said, the second serve is just, it's shit. Yeah. So she's got to improve on that. But look, another thing is she's got to look happier on the court. I mean, you know how
She didn't look joyous. That's true. And Why do you think that is? I don't know.
I don't know because she's so not like that off the court. And you have to be the way you are naturally in moments of crisis. That's how you have to be. And so it
drives me
crazy.
But do you think she's putting so much pressure on herself because of the baby thing?
Honestly, I don't know now. Okay. You know, now that she's put that out there, that's going to be asked and talked about forever. But we'll see. She's through, and she's in a pretty good section of the draw. So
yeah, she is. That draw looks really good. Yep. Alexandrova going out against Sigmund in a three-setter, 7-6 in the third. Let's just talk briefly about Dominic Thiem, and then I think we're going to bring this to a wrap. There were two crazy five-setters in the end of the evening, and another popcorn match, although with two struggling stars. Ogier Aliassime last season was really tough, struggled with injuries, struggled with winning matches. And Dominic Thiem, who seems to be, and it's been the story of his life since he came back from injury, seemingly.
He gets the worst draws.
He gets bad draws, but then he's really close to winning, and then he just can't grab it in the last moment.
It's like, you know, I mean, yeah, you could say that Rafa was a decent draw. Rafa hadn't played a match, but he qualifies in Brisbane. He gets drawn against Rafa, like, what the fuck? And then he gets an opportunity here at the Australian Open, plays FAA. And yes, FAA hasn't been playing that great over the last 12 months, but still, he's still FAA. So it's just a bummer. It's just mental a little bit now, I think. But I mean, it's nice. He's such a great guy. So hopefully he can find it again, but it's going to be hard.
Yes.
And we want to talk a little bit about, before we hang up this little podcast, Ben Shelton.
Yes.
He looked great yesterday. Very hot conditions that he loves. He's a Florida Gator.
But tough draw also, tough Bautista Agut.
Yeah,
huh?
Bautista Agut, that I interviewed Ben after the match and called him RBG instead of RBA. which I thought was really dumb,
but no, it was cute.
But you know, he's matured. I think he's a real threat, because I think to win a Grand Slam, you've got to have the cojones to believe that you can win a Grand
Slam. And he has that.
And that's the difference between him and Francis and the other Americans, Taylor. I don't know if they think that they can win it. I think he thinks he can win it.
Yeah. And no, they think, but they don't believe. And he believes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They think, you know, I used to think that I can win a slam, but now having been retired, I can see that I didn't really believe.
Yeah, and that's a big difference.
And that's a difference.
That's a big difference. I mean, I had that conversation with Sam Stosur through the years, you know. You have to have someone around you that tells you also that, no, wait a second, let's reevaluate. And I think, honestly, he has the weapons and he has the chutzpah to actually win a Grand Slam. Yes. I don't think he's going to do it here, but I think he can do it. But he looked good yesterday and the crowd love him, but he's not going to have crowd support in the next round because he plays Chris O'Connell, Australian. So that'll be a fun match. That'll be a bit of old school, actually. They'll be serving and volleying, coming into the net. It'll be a lot of fun. But Ben looked really good yesterday.
Let's wrap this up, Renee. I'm excited to talk to you tomorrow. Just one little sentence. Yesterday were a lot of matches out there, so we couldn't really cover that many. Just one sentence on Wimbledon champion.
Oh, gone.
Marketa Vondrusova, also a tough draw against Diana Yastremska. You never know what you can get with her. She can just come out firing, and she did yesterday. 6-2, 6-1. That is a bad loss.
That is a bad loss. That is an absolute smashing. But as you said, you know, Yastremska didn't hit the shit out of the ball. She hits it flat. So if Vondrusova is not moving well and being creative and doesn't have confidence, which she doesn't, she's going to lose to a player like that. I mean, we had some unbelievably tough draws first up, and that was one of them. And Pavlyuchenkova beats Vekic, who made the quarters here last year, so that also was a shitty first round, really, between two very experienced good players. But Donna just hasn't played enough. She's only played a couple matches since October, and so I think that was a rough draw for her, whereas Pavlyuchenkova looks really good. She looks fit, she looks ready to go again. It's nice to see her back from injury. So a lot of really tough draws, but hey, listen, we're here for you people every day.
And it keeps going. Today is another crazy day.
Oh, my God. Pliskova plays Rybakina tonight. On
Kerber Collins.
Iga Swiatek plays Sofia Kenin.
Oh, my God.
Woo! Can't wait to bring all that to you tomorrow, kids. Thanks for joining us today. And Petko and I are going to go out and sweat our asses off today because it's going to be hot as shit here in Melbourne. But thanks for joining us. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.